All right, appreciate everybody being here this morning. If you're a visitor here, surely glad to have you. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. That's your kid. All the way. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 is a chapter where the three Hebrew children, of course, are cast into the burning fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And you'll hear their brave answer here after they refused to bow. They said in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver thee from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. A lot of confidence there, folks. Hope you're as confident that your God will deliver you as these guys were. Amen? Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. The form of his visage, which changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. It was overheated past its specs, you might say. Verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now you know how this turned out. Verse 25, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a fourth party as well. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I know who that was. Men, you know who that was? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, very familiar passage here this morning, and we come to it, Lord, knowing you always have something else to show us, if nothing else, to remind us of some things. We pray this morning you would open our eyes. If there's somebody here lost, pray you'd help them to see what they need to do here today. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this narrative here is, of course, one of the most dramatic scenes in the Bible. It's also one of the most miraculous things God ever did. I realize it may not have been of the magnitude of the parting of the Red Sea, that sort of thing. But when you stop and think about it, three guys get pitched into a burning fiery furnace, heated 7 times hotter than normal. They came out of it, and the Bible says they didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. This thing changed the course of history, at least for a little while, with this king and this city that they're in. The king Nebuchadnezzar, for a brief time anyway, kind of came around and was serving God for a while. Granted, he went back and all those things, but it was quite the thing. Now, these guys were pitched into a burning fiery furnace, and they did not burn. Amen? Now, for all that wonder that should instill in us, and for the encouragement that it should be that if we will stand for God, the Lord will do something for us, right? For all of that, I want you to see that there still is a tragedy here because some did burn. Look in verse 22. Excuse me. Verse 22. For those most mighty men in verse 20, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That fire had no power at all on the bodies of the servants of God here in this case, and I'm glad for that. But it did have power over the bodies of those most mighty men. And while nobody else died, and the good guys didn't die, and for that matter, maybe it didn't even affect anything overall in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, the fact of the matter is, however many guys this were, I don't know how many mighty men there were involved. There were three Hebrew children, so maybe put two mighty men on each guy. So 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys. 7 to 10 guys, whatever is the case, 7 to 10 of those guys lost their souls that day and died and went to hell, right? Their widows still had to live the rest of their lives without husbands. Their children were still bereaved of their fathers, right? Because some did burn. Now, you know, I've noticed that among religious people, I use that word consciously. I'm talking about even religious people that aren't saved. Most religious people tend to think of themselves as being, of course, their part being with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, we're not going to go to a burning fiery furnace and burn. We're going to go to heaven, etc., etc., right? I've noticed that to be the case, yet what the Bible says is that by far the vast proportion of mankind will be cast into a lake of fire, right? So I'm coming at this way. We always use hell all the time in our sermons. We mention hell, I suppose, just about every time we're here at some level or another. Sometimes it's worthwhile to back off and just preach a sermon on hell. I know it's negative. I know the world doesn't like to hear it. The world does not like to hear about a wrathful God or someone that would cast someone into a burning fiery furnace. But that's what this burning fiery furnace typifies, right? It's a type of hell. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the devil. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego are types of you and me, really, who are not going to burn. Hey, folks, the fire has no power on our bodies. I'm glad for that. But the fire did have power on the bodies of those 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys that were going to pitch in Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And they died that day in the flame. See, some did burn. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not burn, but some did burn. And you know, folks, it points out that for every miracle of salvation, there is at least an equal and more proportion of folks that are not saved and that go off into eternity and die. And the Bible says they burn and scream and burn and scream and burn and scream and burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. And burn. Forever. So I want to talk to you this morning about some did burn. I started studying these guys that went up to pitch in Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and what I studied was their plight, and I found some interesting lessons from their plight. So first of all, let me just say they burned, first of all, in service to a sin-crazed king. Right? Nebuchadnezzar is on an ego trip like you would not believe here. Nebuchadnezzar had erected this image out on the plain of Dura, and that image was erected. I personally think the image was of him. I mean, he had seen an image in the last chapter with a golden head, and Daniel had said, "Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, that golden head is you in your kingdom." So then he goes out and builds this golden image on the plain of Dura. I think the image was of Nebuchadnezzar. Couldn't prove it. Maybe it's not true, but I believe that it was. And what this thing is a massive ego trip, right? I'll tell you people when to bow down, when to worship. And by the way, I think I'll just have you worship my image, right? And when you hear this music, you bow down and worship or else. He was a sin-crazed king. And you know, it came to a day where when that music did play, that anybody that did not bow that day was treated as if they were a traitor. It was as if it were a personal affront to the king. And he went absolutely crazy. Look in verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. The form of his visage was changed, and he basically lost his temper there, did he not? Folks, this king was mad with sin. He was crazy, crazy with sin. Now, that's certainly possible for the average folk. I remember even a good man, somebody like David, right? There for a brief time, he yielded to the same thing. When he messed up with Bathsheba in the Uriah incident, he commanded his generals to back the army off and allow Uriah to die. That's crazy. crazy to try to murder somebody with an army. It's even crazier to say, everybody that will not bow to my image gets to burn up. He's a crazy man. He's a sin-crazed king. Now, you know, folks, most of you are familiar with how things go in families sometimes. I imagine some of you have family inner workings amongst kin folks and so on. I bet in your family when Aunt Susie and Aunt Violet get in a tiff and you know the fur's going to fly, I bet you learned to stay out of it, right? Just go in the next room and let them work it out themselves, right? I bet you figured out that sometimes it's not best for you if you know a guy and his wife are having a little trouble today, having an argument. I bet you learned that you shouldn't go in and stick your nose in the middle of it, right? Nobody deserves to be caught in the middle of a personal confrontation like that. And yet, what I wanted you to see this morning is that there is just that very kind of war going on around us all around. There was a day, there was this king. He called the king over all the children of pride. His name at one point was Lucifer, right? He was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was beautiful. He was wiser than Daniel. And there was a day that as he desired to exalt himself above the stars of God, as well as the throne of God, and above God, that God cast him down. Ever since that hour that God cast him down, it has been nothing but a malicious, malevolent, spiteful thing from that day forward to this. That is why the devil went in and tried to destroy, and did succeed, by the way, in destroying Eve and her seed. That is why he is today called the God of this world. He hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. I mean, you say, what is the devil's motivation? Why does the devil want to send us all to hell and see us burn forever and ever? You do realize that what he hopes to do is hear you scream. The Bible says that Pharaoh was likened to the devil. It said that in hell, Pharaoh will be comforted over his multitudes. The devil wants to hear you scream forever. Now, you know what? I'm glad for this. I'm saved. I know most of you are saved. So I ain't going to scream. I'm not going to hell and scream. I'm not going to hell at all. If I went to hell, I'd scream. But I'm not going to hell to scream. But the devil wants you and your children and your grandchildren in hell. You know what he wants to do? He wants to hear them scream in agony forever and ever and ever. Now, you know, you say, what's all that about, Brother Stevens? You know what all that's about? The devil hates God. That's what it's all about. It's all about this personal, malevolent fight between the two of them, where he hates the holiness of God. He hates the authority of God. God cast him down. God rejected him. God threw him out. And so what he's out to do is to destroy anybody in any way possible. You mean nothing to the devil. You are just a pawn to be used and to be burned in the end. And your burning will go on and on and on. If you die and go to hell, you will die in the service of a sin-crazed king. These two guys, these 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys, however many there were, these guys were given an order. They had to carry out that order, and they died for no reason at all. They died in the service of an egotist. They died because this guy had a personal vendetta against somebody else. And they got caught in the shrapnel. And you know what? You don't want to die that way. I want to show you something else. I wanted you to see furthermore that these burned in furtherance of a false cause. The cause was Nebuchadnezzar's pride. The cause was Nebuchadnezzar's vanity. The cause was idolatry. The cause was just spitefulness and meanness and worse. All right? These guys in verse 20, they are what? They are the most mighty men that were in his army. This guy went out and found you know, a squadron of the Navy SEALs or whoever the mightiest men in his army were. These guys were specially trained. They were warriors. They had maybe been trained for their entire lifetime to be warriors. I don't know if you realize it or not. You know, you've heard of the Spartans? No, I'm not talking about the ones in Michigan. Spartans? Spartans were born to be warriors in the Roman Empire. They were from Sparta. And when they were just little bitty kids, they'd take them away from their mamas and put them in these barracks. And those guys lived day and night to become Roman warriors. Okay, they were the Spartans. And maybe these guys were something like that. I'm not really sure. But you know, they did not get opportunity to die as warriors, did they? They got opportunity to die in a fool's game, and that's the case. I mean, they died as fools die. Here, you big, strong, strapping, specially trained, special forces guys, come up and take these guys up those steps and throw them in. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was just being spiteful. And he took those 10 guys, and it needed only one guy apiece, but he took those guys up those steps and threw those three Hebrew children in, and for no reason at all, those guys died. Those guys died in a false cause. Their lives were thrown away. Their lives did not mean anything at all to Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to know that your life doesn't mean anything to the devil. Okay? And I want you to know that if you die and go to hell, the Bible says, not me, Christ said you were going to go and burn forever. Why? No reason. No reason at all. You would have died in a false cause. There is no benefit that comes from anybody. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Some hold a great deal of store by what he accomplished. Some say that he accomplished a lot by his death. Tell you what I know. I know that Martin Luther King Jr. died and probably went to hell. And you know what? In the end, you know what was accomplished by his death? Nothing. It was a false cause. It was a false cause. If you die and go to hell, for what reason will you die and go to hell? Do you disregard the gospel because you're a vegetarian? Do you disregard the gospel because you're a Catholic and don't want to repent and get right? I want you to know that if you die as any of those things, you will die and suffer forever in a lost cause. You know what that's called? It's called being a sucker. Okay? There are a ton of things in this life you can live for and die for. Doctors maybe live and die for good causes. Researchers maybe for good causes. Missionaries certainly for good causes. There are missionaries trying to help people who themselves have not been born again. They will die and go to hell. They will have given their lives to help somebody else and for no purpose. You know what they will die? They will die a sucker, an eternal sucker. They die, they burned in a false cause. You know, the average person in Coon Rapids, Minnesota, I doubt seriously the average person in Coon Rapids, Minnesota has said the word Nebuchadnezzar in the last year. When's the last time at your work, guys, you heard somebody say something about Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon? Probably none, right? You know what? Me and you that are Bible believers come here and preach about things, we're the only ones that even think about Nebuchadnezzar anymore, right? And yet, for Nebuchadnezzar's reign and glory, these men died. And we don't even remember them, right? The average guy in America doesn't even know who Nebuchadnezzar was. Those men died, they burned, and frankly, they still are burning for a false cause. They were suckers. Right? That's not how you want to die. That is not how you want to die. You know what? You ought to thank God that you have the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to thank God that somebody loved you enough to come and die for your sins. And even if you're not saved yet, I want you to know that somebody offers you not just eternal life, but a reason to live and a reason to die. And you will never be disappointed by what you get back. These guys burned in furtherance of a false cause. I want you to know that they also burned in a fire not kindled for them. See, these mighty men, verse 20, these most mighty men, they're among those that had bowed. They didn't stand when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood. These guys, when they heard the music, bowed. The fire was kindled for guys that would not bow. These guys did bow. And I just wanted you to know that this was all one big, huge, tragic oversight. It was a huge, tragic mistake. These guys had kids that were bereaved of their fathers. These men probably had wives that were bereaved of their husbands. These guys all died in for no reason whatsoever. You know, you heard all the time, we see all the time now in the news where some whack job goes and blows himself up and kills 30 other people, right? So there's this great mourning in Israel and Palestine about, you know, all the folks that died. In Vietnam, World War II, World War I, there were always friendly casualties where artillery would come in and land too close to friendly lines and men would die for that reason, right? There are, for instance, Stonewall Jackson was killed by his own men accidentally. And you know what that is? That is somebody dying by a bullet or by a bomb that was not intended for them. Well, I'll tell you what. The Bible says, and there's coming a day when men will be judged, and the Lord will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Anybody that dies and goes to hell burns in a fire not kindled for him. Hell is not for you. Hell is for the devil and his angels, but you will go there if you're not saved. These guys died in a fire not kindled for them, just as the average lost sinner will go and burn in a fire not kindled. You know, it's a sad thing. We pay higher insurance costs for drunks and for bums and drug addicts. You know that? I mean, the reason your insurance costs go up on the road is because other people are irresponsible, and so on and so forth, right? You pay higher doctor bills, at least in part, because you have whack jobs out there that are trying to sue doctors all the time, right? You pay higher taxes because there are a bunch of lazy bums out there doing nothing who expect you to take care of them. Now, you know what? It's bad enough that you have to pay for other men's wickedness here in this life. How much worse is it that you have to pay for the devil's wickedness in hell, in a fire not kindled for you? Why would you go to a place, if you had a choice, where you would not only suffer and suffer eternally, but it shouldn't even be your suffering? It's not even your problem. You weren't involved in the devil's rebellion, right? And so the Lord Jesus Christ came here to die for your sins, to relieve you of having to go and not only suffer for your own sins, but to suffer in a fire not kindled for you. They suffered in a fire not kindled for them. They burned in innocence and without forewarning. Real positive message this morning, isn't it? Tell you what, it is positive. I escaped. I'm not going. So it's positive for me. And the good news at the end of this thing, I'm not presenting this as some sort of a cancer diagnosis for which there is no cure. At the end of all this, there is an instantaneous cure this morning for anybody that will receive Jesus Christ, right? But I want you to know for now, these burned in innocence. These burned without forewarning. Now, I'm not suggesting that these most mighty men were sinless. They weren't. They were sinners just like me and you, right? But the idea is, you know, when they were stricken down, they were not in the midst of razing some city and raping a bunch of women. They were not in the midst of committing war crimes. They were simply following orders, right? They were following the direct orders of their king. And as such, folks, they were innocent in that regard. You know, it's we sometimes look around and you don't know why sometimes some folks get away with things they get away with. You know, why some of the Palestinian Islamic bombers, why some of the bombs don't just blow up in their faces when they're alone, I'm not really sure. You know? Sometimes we have to wait until they blow up other people and all that kind of stuff goes on. Sometimes it's easy to wish that folks would be judged as they do wrong, right? Well, I want you to know these guys did not die in the midst of war crimes. These guys did not die in the midst of doing something horrible and something terrible. These guys died in the midst of duty. They were, for all intents, innocent, right? Now, you know what? A lot of times, folks drop off and die in innocence. I'm not suggesting that anybody dies that's not a sinner, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? But sometimes people die, and at the moment when they die, they're not doing anything terrible. Sometimes, folks, somebody goes to sleep, and what? They wake up in hell. Now, folks, my point is you can't tell when it's going to happen. You don't have to be doing something bad, something terrible, to wind up awaking in hell. I want you to know these died in innocence. I'll tell you something else. These died in spite of their superiority. Verse 20. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army. These guys were superior. They were my superiors, I'm sure. Probably all of your superiors. These were guys that trained probably their lives away to be the best warriors possible. I know a lot of folks that are my superiors mentally, intellectually. There are lots of smarter folks than me. Okay? And a lot of times when somebody is superior with their finances or superior with their intellect, are superior in experience, are superior in their position in life, their career, whatever, they somehow get the idea they cannot themselves be destroyed. They think they're okay, right? I just remember Carl Sagan from a few years back? What a pompous donkey. He was plainly so much smarter than all of us that he could talk right down his nose to every one of us, right? I want you to know, despite that guy's superiority, he, like these guys, burned. He's still at this hour, at this day. I believe these guys are still burning to this hour. You see, you go to hell, folks, and you burn forever and ever. For as long as God is holy, for as long as God is alive, for as long as God is mad, you burn. And you scream. And you burn. These guys died, burned, and still scream in spite of their superiority. Doesn't matter what your intellect is. Doesn't matter what your experience is. I don't care how much money you've made. You know, Donald Trump seems to think that he's pretty, I don't know, I get the impression from that guy, and I only see him, you know, once in a blue moon, but he pretty much figures he's at the top of the world, doesn't he? I mean, is he, can he be reached by, you know, the fires of hell? He doesn't think so. One day he'll lay down and go to sleep, and he'll wake up on the other side. And I want you to know that no amount of money is enough. No religion's enough. You may consider your religion superior to mine, but I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the one that died for my sins, paid for my sins. I am not worried about waking up in a lake of fire. All right? These burn because, in spite, rather, of their superiority. I wanted you to notice something else. I wanted you to notice that these guys burned in testimony to the fact that God's power is real. Okay? I mean, in the end, these guys were the pawns that Nebuchadnezzar sent up the stairs with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. These guys went up those stairs and never came back down. They all died on the spot. They all burned on the spot. Okay, why? They died as a testament to God's power and authority. These Hebrew children said, listen, we are not, no matter what happens, we're not bowing to your God. And you know what? Our God is able to deliver us. And if He doesn't, that's His problem. But we are not bowing. And so Nebuchadnezzar got really, 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 really mad. He was full of fury. In fact, he threw a little temper tantrum right then and there. And he said, there is not a God around that can deliver somebody from my fiery furnace that's heated seven times hotter. I mean, God Himself couldn't sink this ship. The Titanic captain, right? Well, the Titanic, guess what? Did sink that night. And the point, ladies and gentlemen, is that it's actually untrue that these guys, these mighty men's deaths, served for nothing. Because they did serve for something. What it showed is while nobody else died that day, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego did not die. Nebuchadnezzar did not die. These three guys did die. And at least one thing that came out of their deaths was the fact that whatever else it testified to the fact that God has some children that will not burn. And then there's regular folks that will burn. Okay? It was a testament to God's power and authority. These guys, whatever else can be said, these guys serve as an object lesson forever and ever that God can take somebody's life however He wants, whenever He wants. Right? Now here's the point. Tell you what you have a choice of. Here are your choices. Yes, there's being saved or staying lost. Yes, there's having the righteousness of Christ or not having the righteousness of Christ. Yes, there's going to heaven or going to hell. Here's your choice, though. Your choice is you can go and enjoy eternal bliss and happiness and joy, or you can be an eternal object lesson. There'll be no pleasure in hell. There'll be no water in hell. There'll be no reprieve, no relief. You have a choice. You can go to heaven and enjoy the blessings of heaven forevermore, or you can go to hell, and it'll be for no other purpose than to be an eternal object lesson where somebody gets to say, oh, I don't want to do what he did. Okay? That is all your death, and your going to hell is going to serve. You know, there is nothing good that comes out of dying and going to hell. There is nothing that happens. There is nobody that's benefited. You know, there was one guy that tried to make it benefit. He was in hell. He said, Father Abraham, let me go tell my brothers and sisters. Nope, you're stuck. If they won't believe, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, then they won't believe you if you go back. There was a guy that tried to make a difference from hell in his family's lives. He was denied the opportunity. I want you to know that if you go to hell, all you will accomplish is being an eternal example that what God said from the start was true anyway. All right? One last thing, and I'll say this. These guys burned, and I believe they still burn today, just like Pilate. You realize Pilate still burns today. 2,000 years after Jesus Christ died and Pilate attempted to wash his hands, Pilate still burns. Maybe he's down there today washing his hands in the fire, right? Still trying to wash his hands of the blood of the Son of God, right? I want you to know that these guys burned and do still burn in contrast to those who couldn't be burned. You do realize Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, as far as Nebuchadnezzar was concerned, as far as the devil is concerned, those three guys couldn't be burned. They wouldn't burn. They came out of that smoke. Look down in verse 27. Nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Why, they didn't even smell like they'd been in any smoke. Sometimes I go outside and build a bonfire. My sister calls me a pyro. I'm not. I don't have to have a fire every day to satisfy my needs. But she calls me a pyro. I go out and build a fire, you know, and burn some stuff out there. You know, oil and nuclear waste and stuff like that. Tires and stuff. I'm just joking. I come and have to take a shower. Man, my shirt stinks, you know, just the smoke and all that kind of stuff. These guys came out of a burning fiery furnace. and the smell of smoke had not even passed on them. I want you to know that these guys burned in contrast to those who couldn't be burned. Now, you know what? I'm a Christian. I have a Savior. My God is a consuming fire. Did you know that? Did you know that my God is so holy that in His nature, my God is a consuming fire? And yet one day, I will have the nature of being capable, when changed, of going and living in His presence. Living in the presence of consuming fire. You know, I'm saved. I'll tell you one thing that being saved gets me. It makes me impermeable to fire. I'm talking about my immortal side. I'm not talking about physically. You throw gas on me, I'll burn, all right? But I'm telling you, I spiritually cannot be burned. If you're born again, you cannot be burned. You cannot be burned. These guys burned in contrast to those three guys who could not be burned. There's one last thing I wanted to show you. Look down in verse 28. Notice what Nebuchadnezzar says. Nebuchadnezzar says, Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I guess one thought on an aside here. Nebuchadnezzar was admitted he was wrong and all that kind of stuff. Did you notice he didn't exactly erect any kind of a memorial or anything for those guys that died in that fire? Nebuchadnezzar never even said he was sorry. Oh, man. Boy, in trying to burn these three guys, I killed 10 of my best guys. Oh, boy. I've got to go take care of their wives and kids. That's not what he said. Didn't say it at all, right? Did you know? If the devil succeeds in getting you in hell, you're never getting an apology. You'll never get an apology. He don't care for you. You're a pawn. You are a stick to be burnt. That's all you are. Verse 28 again. That Lord, that God, hath sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god. Now, you know, I got thinking about that verse. Did you know that three guys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, those most mighty men, two different parties of guys, right? Two ends are very much the same, different, or very much different. Both of those parties trusted their God. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego trusted their God. Those mighty men, they trusted their God. Those three men whose bodies could not be burned, they yielded their bodies to the fire. Those 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 most mighty men, they yielded their bodies to the fire too, right? They served and worshiped their God, both parties. Yet look at the two differences. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego climb a ladder out of a burning fiery furnace, and the smell of smoke had not even passed upon them. The guys that had died in that fire, by that point, they were just a smoldering heap of charred flesh. Like I said, spiritually, they still burn today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't go to hell. Just do not go to hell. It behooves everybody here, even if you're saved, and I am saved, and I've already examined myself for what it's worth. You need to examine yourself. Make sure you're in the faith. Because there is a hell that burns hot. Don't listen to the JWs, the silly little JWs that come to your house and say, oh, no, no, there's not a hell. Yes, there is. We have the testimony of a man that was there and is still there. Luke chapter 16. Okay, we have a testimony of somebody in hell. We have a testimony of a king who is a type of the devil who will be in hell, who is in hell, and there he is comforted in hell over his multitudes. He enjoys hearing people scream forever and ever. Don't go to hell. Like I said now, all this is all negative if you view it, you know, in the way of a lost man. You need to understand there is a true fix to this, and that true fix is that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried, He rose again the third day, stands with a gift of eternal life offered to you. You need to take that gift. Because if you die without that gift, you're going to go to hell. Don't go to hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Father, pray this has been some bit of enlightenment for folks. Father, I hope that somebody that's lost sees their need for salvation. And I certainly hope, Father, for all of us Christians that are here, that are genuinely saved, hope that we can all the more appreciate the blessings of eternal life, and not just life itself, but the fact that we've been made impermeable to fire. We are, with respect to this fire, indestructible. The devil has no power to touch us in eternal fashion, Father. We just ask that you will remember these things as we sing this song. Pray, Father, you'd move sinners and saints alike as they need to be moved. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn to number 251. Let's stand. Now, this morning, if you're unsaved, would you just do yourself a favor? Don't hesitate. If you are unsure whether you're going to heaven or not, why don't you come down here and let somebody take a Bible and you personally in a side room and show you how to be saved. You do not want to go to eternal fire. You do not want to burn forever and ever. 251. 251. Say, I can wait. I can wait till later. I can wait till tomorrow. I can wait. I can wait. I can wait. I can wait. There may come a day when you're ordered to do something like these soldiers were, and there will be no return for you. Maybe you'll go to the store. Maybe you won't return. Maybe you'll go to a doctor. Maybe you won't return. Maybe you'll wind up on the other side of this mortal veil without another chance. Not everybody gets a chance to make a deathbed confession. You know that? There are lots of folks that wind up on a deathbed who are not conscious. Don't wait for that. Don't wait for that. Make a decision while you can. Make a decision while you're able. Almost persuaded. Number two. One more appeal to you. Like I said, I know most of you by far. I know you're saved, most of you. But, you know, even in a crowd of so-called knowns, I've known many times, and I was one myself at one point, folks that actually stand in doubt and actually have believed in vain at some point. Maybe you were trusting a prayer. Maybe you were trusting just the fact that you went forward when your friends went forward.
Listen, you need a personal faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ needs to be a personal Savior to you. It's not sufficient to join a club. It's not sufficient to respond just because somebody else responded. And it's not enough to pray a prayer because your mama wanted you to pray a prayer. It's not enough. True belief in the depths of your heart in a Savior that died for you. Don't wind up yourself almost persuaded. Father, pray you'd guide in this last stanza. Pray that you'd lead somebody to eternal life, Father, that needs to make a decision. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the last. So it's kind of a negative thing to end on. Sure is a positive thing when you have eternal life, though, right? Amen. What a blessing that is. Let's have a word of prayer to close. Dave, darling, would you close us, please? All right, we look forward to seeing you back tonight at 6, we hope. Take care.